Welcome. We're glad to have you guys with us. My name is Seth Connerly. I'm the campus and teaching pastor here at Metro. And let me tell you, if you're a first-time guest, you came on a really great day because you're going to get to hear very much the heart behind who we are as a church, in addition to us diving into God's Word a little bit. Because here's the deal. For us as a church, service and serving others, servanthood in and of itself is huge. And I'll tell you, quite frankly, it's a monstrous reason why I'm even here. I'm new to Metro and being on staff. I've only been here for about 3 to 4 months. And as I was going through the interview process, one thing kind of from an outsider looking in perspective that stood out to me massively was the amount of people who serve. Because whether or not you realize it or not, that 80-20 rule, if you've served in churches or been in other churches in the past, a lot of times that rings to be very true. Namely, about 80% of what's going on in the church, namely what is serving and what's keeping the ministries going, that even actually bleeds over into the monetary giving of the church, that is occurring by only about 20% of the populace of the church. And serving is a huge reality in that, namely making the church run. And I had a mentor when I originally started in ministry named Byron. And Byron would tell me, he said, Seth, and I worked at a church very similar to Metro in its heartbeat. And he said, Seth, we are not a walkie-talkie church. And I said, what does that mean? I don't understand. He said, it's this. We don't walkie-talkie somebody who's like the minister of chairs when we set up chairs. We don't walkie-talkie somebody when there's something that blew up in the bathroom and go, hey, if you could just get down here. Yeah, no, we're paying you money. Get over here. Like, we've got people who say, you know what? I see a need, and I'm going to step into that, and I want to serve. And that is the heartbeat here at Metro as well. It's a people who come together and say, I want to partner in this mission and take that next step. And the majority of our people are on board with that. And that, you need to understand, if you don't know that, is not normal. That doesn't happen. If we were going to kind of poll all the churches in this kind of overall area, let alone the nation at large, you're just not going to see that. And that was amazing to me. I absolutely loved it. And a huge part of that is the fact that whenever you step into that, and I think that it's just been vision casted to us as a church really well, is that you begin to understand and connect better with the community at large. See, the two things we're going to be hitting today pretty heavily are going to be your calling and what you were created for. And so if you're going to get anything from me, this isn't in notes or anything, but you want to write it down, it's this specifically. You need to understand that you are created and you are called to serve both God and others. Bottom line, our verbiage today is I was created for this, or we were created for this, and your understanding, your specific gifting, the things you love, the things that make you awesome, quite frankly. And if you can take that gifting, that thing you were created for, and follow it up by stepping into God's calling on your life, you're going to understand fulfillment in a way that you haven't before. You're going to understand what it means to be a part of something bigger in a whole new way, and you're going to feel connected in a new context. Now, a number of things could happen. You might be a person who's been doing this for a long time, and you say, Seth, well, I'm not feeling as connected right now. And that could be due to a lot of number of reasons. Maybe you're not in a small group setting or something like that. Or maybe, quite frankly, you aren't in a position of service that is in alignment with that creation and the thing that you were created for. See, some people love babies, okay? They love babies. And they are all about them. And then other people like me look at babies and go, that's a poop factory. That's all they see, okay? Like a screaming poop factory. Like, and that's not, you know, I did children's ministry for the very beginning of my stint in pastoral ministry. And I somehow managed to reverse the whole pre-K situation of having to change a single diaper. It was amazing. And yet, not much of a servant's heart in that context, right? I wasn't making sure I was in full alignment in that moment. I use that excuse. It's like, when it's my children, I'll change their diapers. Like that kind of deal. And so for me, that wasn't my alignment in that moment. But I can tell you some that were. I can remember it like it was yesterday. For me, when I started off in ministry, this is long before calling. This is long before anything. This is just Seth, the member of a church, partnering in ministry. I was probably about 8 or 9 years old. And back then, they used to have those massive cameras on stands out inside the crowd. You might remember these, you know, like your dad had one when you were growing up, or maybe even you had one. It was a camera that was about the size of half your body. You know what I'm talking about? and it had that huge lens on it, and it had a small TV on top so that you could see what was actually going on in the camera. It had a giant VHS tape in it. Kids, a VHS tape is a plastic brick that had a lot of tape. Anyways, you had to use a race car to rewind it at the end. It was crazy. And so this thing was, I was all about it because I volunteered to operate this camera. And to everybody else, it might have seemed like it was not a big deal. But to me, it was everything because I felt like and knew I was a part of what God was doing. And I was able to be a part of that mission and lean into that. In addition to that, I could think even beyond that to whenever I got into my teen years. Fun fact, parents, I'm just going to throw this out there. You might not know this, but one of the number one signs of retention within a high school student, you might want to keep this one as a mental note, if they are going to stay connected to the local body of church when they get into college, is if they have an active place of service in the church now in their high school days. That's just a fun fact for you. But anyways, in that time, as I was serving and going down that road, what had occurred in my heart was, is I said, you know, I want to step into places that other people don't. And so as a teenager, it was this issue of, hey, do I need to step into serving in what was VBS and what would be KBK for us? And so I decided with my buddies that we were going to do motions and music. That was not something teenage boys do. And the ladies aren't like, hey, you know who I'm looking for? The guys doing the motions for KBK, okay? Like, that was not the deal, especially sitting in front of that screen like, yeah, Jesus. Like, that is not, nobody's looking at that going, that guy right there, he's the stuff. That was not going on. But for me, I was stepping into something, seeing kids connect, and making it new and alive in a way that they had not experienced before, and I loved it. And I got to see that even pan out in my ministry years later. But I want to read this to you real quick as we continue forward, and specifically it's John 13. So if you want to look at that, Jesus is going to give us a very clear understanding of what we need to be doing in reference to service by giving an example himself. It was just before the Passover festival, John 13, starting verse 1. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. So namely, Jesus knows that he's about to, in the days to come, be crucified. He recognizes this, and these are kind of his last times with his disciples. So Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water in a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you should never wash my feet. He's going, you're Jesus, you're the Son of God. You can't do this. I'm lowly. I'm just a fisherman. Like, what? I can't be this guy that you're going to do something like this for. And Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part of me. And Simon Peter, in typical Simon Peter fashion, namely, he was overdramatic. Then Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands, my head as well. And then it goes on, and Jesus more or less goes, calm down, Simon. All right, that's not what we're getting at. You're missing it. What I'm telling you is I'm trying to tell you something deeper, and that's that I have come to cleanse you, and I'm serving you. And we're about to see in a second, and he says, I'm giving you this example, and you need to do it. But here's the deal. For us to truly understand what it is to be called to serve, we must first, just like Simon, appreciate the service that is done for us. See, Simon had gotten to a point where he didn't even want to receive it from Jesus because he maybe, in his context, didn't feel like he was worthy of it, didn't feel like he deserved it. And he said, you know what, I just don't need this. And Jesus is going, you do need it. You need to receive it from me and you need to be thankful for it. And obviously Simon does a real 180 turn, and he's like, okay, Jesus, yes, wash all of me then. But see, for us, we need to, if we want to truly understand this, we have to be thankful first. So maybe for the first time today, even if you don't feel called to serve today, maybe you can, for the first time in a new light, look at a clean toilet and understand that didn't just happen. Look at things that are set up when you walk in and understand that that didn't occur. Look at the smiling face that greets you and understand it's a person who says, I want to do this because I care about you. And this new appreciation can come about you. And so as we transition forward, and Melody's going to come in a few minutes and talk to us about that kind of created purpose we have as we are a part of the body of Christ. Before we do that, though, in this vein of being thankful, I want us to watch a video of some people who are expressing that thankfulness to those who have served them here in this Metro family.
Dear Metro Community Church,
Dear Metro,
Dear Metro,
Dear Metro, I am writing to say thank you to the volunteers that serve there. In 2016, I was praying for a church home. I had been a Christian for several years, but I had never been part of a church family. God had put on my heart that this was an area that I needed to grow in my Christian walk. I had received a mailer from Metro Community Church and had been thinking about going for a few weeks. I live in Granite City, so the whole way to the church, I was praying and talking to myself to keep from backing out. When I got to the church, I knew it was going to be big, but just looking at all the cars and the huge building added to my nervousness. As soon as I got out of my car, Vicki greeted me with that big smile of hers and immediately started a conversation. It made me feel very welcome, and I have been back every week since. I'm so grateful for the people that showed God's love to me that day and helped me find my home.
After numerous years in corporate America, I contracted an autoimmune disease called Sussex syndrome that left me disabled. I can no longer work in the corporate world, but you provided a place for me to use my well-established abilities and given me a bigger purpose than anything I've ever done before. Volunteering in the Metro office in Vandalia has allowed me to promote the amazing work of Jesus. I have made many friends with the wonderful people that also serve here and have the opportunity to reach out to others visiting Metro for the first, second, or third time. Metro has become my home, and it has given me a place to do what I was created to do. Thank you for seeing the way God made me and helping me find my purpose here.
5 years ago, at work, Ryan Riney invited me to attend a service. When we saw the genuine way the people here connect with others, my wife and I knew that this would be our home. Ryan asked if I wanted to help with the seating team, and shortly after that, I became ministry coordinator of the ushering team. Through these opportunities, I've made some lifelong friends and grown in my faith. One day, when I was cleaning in the auditorium, I mentioned to Mike that I would love to hear him sing a certain song in an upcoming service. He said, "Let's go sing it now, man." And that's how I started singing at Metro. I want to take this opportunity to thank the person that boldly invited me to step into this place, and the volunteers that use their gifts and abilities in an authentic way to help my wife and I to find a place where we belong. Through you, we have found our community.
I started attending when I was in seventh grade, and I joined student ministry right away. A few months later, I made the decision to accept Jesus into my heart, and my small group leaders introduced me to a life that looked more like Jesus. In high school, my family had some big events that changed life as we knew it. My response was to turn away from everything I knew was right. During this time, God placed three new and insanely remarkable Fusion small group leaders into my life. Instead of deeming me as too difficult or problematic, they surrounded me in love, understanding, and compassion. They loved me like Jesus no matter how many times I messed up. I didn't understand why they cared about me, and I tried to put up a lot of walls, but they prayed for me and with me in hopes that one day I would finally go all in for Jesus. And that's where I'm at today. I'm in college and my faith is continuing to grow. I'm now serving as a Fusion leader in the same ministry that shaped my life in high school. I can now understand the love that my leaders had for me back then because I have that same kind of love for an amazing group of middle school girls. I'm writing this letter to let you know what the volunteers in student ministry have meant to me and to say thanks for providing a place for me to grow in my faith and serve Jesus. Sincerely, Mandy Jandro.
Sincerely, Debbie Britton.
Sincerely, Austin Lee.
Sincerely, Julie Staff.
Those are some amazing stories. Yes, absolutely. Those are stories of how we as a church, as Metro Community Church, has touched some of the lives that are here, that are a part of us now. But I don't want us just to pat ourselves on the back and say, good job, Metro Church, and then finish. What I want us to do and challenge all of us to do is we need to take the next step. We need to move forward. So what I'm going to do for you today is I'm going to share with you a scripture that has changed my life, has turned my life of service upside down. And so in just a minute, we're gonna walk through that, and we're gonna take each phrase kind of at a time. But before we do that, I'm gonna ask you a question. And the question that I'm gonna ask you at the beginning, and I'm gonna ask the same question at the end. So here's the question, are you ready? What is one thing, just one thing, where you can change from being a but to an and? Yeah, I just said that word in church. What is one thing, just one thing, where you can change from being a but to an and? So let's take a look at the scripture. But before we do, again, it's Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. And these are some scriptures that God has used in my life, again, to turn my life upside down. But before we do, I'm going to give you a little bit of context of what's going on in the scripture. When I read scripture, I need context. I need to know what's going on, who's written it, why in the world is he writing it, and who is he writing it to, and all of those things. So I'm going to give you a little bit of that context. In the book of Romans, that is the Apostle Paul that is writing this letter to the book of Rome. And he's getting ready to lay out in the following verses a list of spiritual gifts. Now, just to let you know, spiritual gifts are the things that God gives us as believers to give us purpose within the body of Christ, within the church. So remember that. When I say body of Christ, what I'm talking about is the church. So he's getting ready to lay out some of those gifts, those presents. And we're super excited because all we want to do is we want to get our gift. We want to get our present. What's God going to give me? But before he does that, the Apostle Paul says, here are some things that you need to listen to get your life right before I give you these gifts. So this is some of these scriptures. So Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, I'm going to read those to you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Now, I don't know about you, but when I first read that, I'm like, I don't know what in the world this is talking about. We got some members going on. We got some bodies going on. Sometimes I think of that, you know, I got arms and legs kind of flopping out here. I don't know what's going on. So then in the simplicity is sometimes that I think that my mind works, God gives me some stories. So I'm going to tell you a little bit of a story today that helped me understand what these verses are talking about. The story that God gave me is something that goes back to a toy that I used to have when I was a little girl, a preschool toy. Now, my kids had the same toy. You can actually go out to Walmart today and you can still purchase this toy. So the toy that God gave me to help simplify this is Mr. Potato Head. So you're with me, you know where I'm going. I remember as a little girl, when I would get a new box of Mr. Potato Head, I would open up that box, and what was the first thing that I would pull out? I would pull out all the different parts and pieces to Mr. Potato Head. And I would lay them on my table, and I would take a look at all the wonderful little pieces that I had. I had some arms, I had some legs, I had some eyes, I had some ears, I had some feet, some hat, mustache, you know, you get it. So I would lay out all of those pieces, and I would admire what I had. Those are so cool. They're so pretty. But they didn't do anything. They looked a little awkward. I had some arms over here that didn't move. I had some legs that didn't run. I had some eyes that didn't see. I had some ears that didn't hear. So what did I need to do? I needed to reach back into that box and pull out the most critical piece that's part of my Mr. Potato Head. And what is that? Thank you. It's the potato. So I would pull out the potato, which is the body, and I would look at that potato, and it had all kinds of, if you remember, slits and holes and all those types of things. Something goes inside that body. It's all those parts and those pieces that I had laid out. And so I start putting those parts and pieces into the body, into the potato. The arm goes in the arm slot, the leg goes in the leg slot, the eyes in the eye slot, and the ears in the ears, and all of a sudden, I have a full functioning Mr. Potato Head. He's got his arms, he's got his legs, he's got his eyes, he's got his ears, and as a child, I would wave my magic wand of imagination, and he would come to life. And all of a sudden, Mr. Potato Head, you know what? He could run. He could pick up things. He could see. He could hear. He could do all the things that Mr. Potato Head was designed to do. Do you see where I'm going with this? God, in the same way, has made each and every one of us an arm, a leg, an eye, an ear. He's made us all different to function different within the body, within the body of Christ, within the church, within this church, Metro Community Church. And if we begin to function like that and put ourselves within the body of Christ, we take all of these things, this variety that God has made us to be as a body of Christ, and we become fully functional. But as I read the scripture, and I write a lot, and started writing these things out, I realized God wasn't done with me yet. There was something else that he wanted me to hear, that he wanted me to see. And it's that word in the very final part of verse 5. It says, and each member belongs to the others. And as I began to think about this, I thought, oh my goodness, the Apostle Paul, he wrote the word and. And I think he wrote that word and for a reason. He didn't write the word but. He didn't say, but we all belong together. He said, and. And I thought, oh my goodness, in my own life, how many times have I functioned within the body of Christ with the attitude of a but and not an and? What do I have to? And I thought of my kids when they were young, when I would say, you know, okay, guys, it's time to go clean your room. What's the response? But Mom, do I have to? But when I say, hey, let's go to the movies or let's go to the park, what's the response? And I get to. And I thought, what would that be like within the body of Christ, within the church, if we changed from being buts to ands? If we began to see life within this church in a totally different perspective, and we were no longer buts, but we were ands. And I get to. And I get to hang out with you. And I get to hang with the body of believers. And we get to break bread together. And we get to worship together. And we get to go to small group together. And we get to do ministry together. God began to change my life from becoming a but to an and my attitude changed. What would it be like within this church if we changed? And then I thought, what did the Apostle Paul feel like when he sat down with the Church of Rome, and he went through all of these things, and he said, you know, God has made you in variety and something different and different personalities and backgrounds, but there's one more thing, and we all belong together. And I thought, it's kind of like an infomercial where you watch, and you're watching it, and you see this great product, and you're like, oh my goodness, this thing's really going to do all the things that they say that it's going to do? Yeah, I'm in. Sign me up. We pick up our phone. We start to call. And what does the television say? And if you call within the next 10 minutes, we're going to double your offer. That is the same as we are in the body of Christ. The Apostle Paul said, and I'm going to double your offer. What would that be like if we all function fully within the body of Christ of how he has made us, and we change our attitude from a but to an and? It would change this church upside down. It would change this community upside down. So I'm going to give you the question one more time. If there is one thing, just one thing, that you could change in your life from a but to an and, what would that be?
Hey, that is the heartbeat of this morning, though, is the understanding that we were made for this. We were created in a very specific way with very specific gifts to follow the calling that God has on our lives. And that means, just as Melly said, we got to turn that but into an and understand our position in the body of Christ. I will tell you, when me and Melody were processing that and talking about what we were going to be kind of talking about in this, I said, okay, so turn the butt into an and. She was like, yes. And I said, so we don't need to be a butt. That's what I just heard from you initially. And she was like, sure. I was kind of, all the stuff's aligning for me. I said, and also, we need to know our position in the body of Christ is what I'm hearing from you. And she's like, yes, that is what I was saying. So some of us need to be the hands and feet of Jesus. She was like, yeah. And I said, some of us need to be the mouthpiece of Jesus. Yes. But connecting your two worlds together, I'm realizing nobody wants to be the butt of the body of Christ, is what you're telling me. And she was like, no, that's not what I'm saying at all. I was like, you know, to each his own. For me, you know, no. I don't want to be that. Anyways, so for us, though, we need to make sure that our calling is in alignment with what God has created us to do. I got bad news for you. If you're a person that goes, but Seth, I don't want to serve, I need to be clear with you about stuff, and I want to be transparent about stuff. This is not a me saying as a church leader, this is a need from you. I'm not telling you I just need this from you. We as a staff need this from you. I'm not saying that it's a want. We want you to want this. We want you to desire this. I'm telling you this is a command from God's word, and that's pretty serious. When God looks at us and says, this is your calling, this is, if you're going to say I'm a follower of Christ, this is a command, this is a calling on your life. And this isn't to be some burden. It is something for you to understand what it means to be a part of something bigger, what it means to be in that fulfillment, in that alignment with who you were made to be. I tell you, sometimes that's not easy, though. See, you might be in a place, and I even was talking to somebody just a couple of days ago where they said, I asked a person in my small group, and I said to them, hey, I think you're ready to take this next step and lead a small group. And they said, I think you don't know what you're talking about. I am not ready for that at all. You understand there's people in the room, and I have to talk to them in front of them. That's not how I'm wired. And they said, I'm telling you, you're great at studying God's word. You have a great comprehension. You can communicate it well to people. Maybe there's a little apprehension of standing and talking in front of people. But let me tell you, I think that's a gift you have. And so maybe that or something along those lines is something you've kind of stepped away from because you just said, maybe, I don't know, there's a little bit of an apprehension. Maybe there's some fear in me about if I'm actually going to be good at this. Yes, maybe I have a little bit of a heart for it and I can see God tugging at that. Well, I can tell you, if I had not listened to that in my own life, I would not be literally standing here today. When I was in sixth grade, a man by the name of Brett Lorbach, who was my teacher at the time, he looked at me and he said, Seth, I see something in you. And I said, what is that? Because I see nothing. At the time, I was, 80 pounds sopping wet, maybe, running around in some Umbros and a nasty bowl cut that made me look like Toad from Super Mario. Like, there was not much about me that you looked at and you went, there's a lot of going on there. There's a lot of, a lot of potential. No, I was just a normal kid. Nothing really stand out, but for some reason, Brett Lorbach looked at me and said, I see something in you. I was reminiscing with my mother even just a couple of months ago as we were kind of just thinking back over what God has done in our lives, and she was looking back to even kind of this transition into a teaching pastor role, and she said, Seth, do you just understand how God has just orchestrated that in your life? And I said, yes. And she said, and Brett Lorbach saw that in you. I said, he did. And she goes, why though? Like, why? You don't want to hear that from your mom? What are you talking about? She was like, I mean, you were a good kid. Like, you were great. But like, you weren't like this one who just struck you as a stand up and talk to people kind of guy. And I wasn't. I was very timid, very shy. And I remember listening to him and going, okay, I think I'm going to try this. And so he was our kind of coordinator for Junior Beta Club. And so he said, I want you to run for state chaplain of Mississippi. Ooh, like, yeah. And so I lined up to do this, and I go, and I run, and sure enough, I win this state chaplain deal. And so part of the responsibilities is at the state convention, before a couple of thousand students at the Mississippi Gulf Coliseum in sixth grade, I'm supposed to stand up with a three-ring binder and this thing I wrote on it and speak to these people, and I was mortified, okay? Like, I stood in front of these people, and it was every horrible thing you've ever seen in a TV show. I was just like, and Jesus loves you, and he's so good. I was not doing well. But over time and over God developing that within me, and I not seeing something that was deeply rooted therein, God developed something that to this day he is now using for his glory and his purposes. And I now know that I'm in alignment. Well, he called me to. Well, let's continue reading in John 13, specifically verse 12, and see how kind of Jesus brings us full circle. We've said, yes, we need to be thankful, but let's see how he takes it further with service. So it says in verse 12, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you, he asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. So Jesus takes it one step further. He's got his interaction with Simon Peter, and he goes, kind of, look, you need to be thankful. You need to receive this gift I'm giving you, that I'm serving you in this way. And so that is for us very real. We have to actually see something and be appreciative of it before we can truly value it and see why we should be a part of it also. But Jesus takes it a step further, and he says, look, I am being a servant leader to you, and I'm calling you to do as I've done, and that is to serve others. So you are called and created to serve both God and others. See, he looks at them, he says, it's not enough for you to just be thankful and to receive this blessing in the ultimate sense of it for him. He's going to serve them even unto death, as Scripture says. And he dies on the cross and is raised in this ultimate self-sacrificial example. But for you and me, we've got to serve God with our lives. Scripture says to offer our bodies even as a living sacrifice pleasing to the Lord. So what does that look like for you? What does that look like for me? It looks like seeing a need and stepping into it. I'll tell you, I am very blessed and to serve under a servant leader, a person who looks and says, you know what? I'm not just going to say things, we're going to do them. See, you might not know this, and I'm going to brag on my head pastor, and he's going to hate it. You might not know this, but Paul Westbrook, from the very beginning of our church, even when we were meeting in school, he saw, and you probably have even noticed it, the dude's picking up trash all the time. Anytime he's in the parking lot, anywhere. At first, I didn't know what he was doing whenever I first started work. He just would, like, he'd make it about 10 feet, and he'd be like, oh, well, there's that. And I'd be like, what is he? And I realized, oh, he is seeing trash. He's picking it up. He's valuing the service. You might not also know this if you're new, but he parks at the very, he probably doesn't want me to identify where he's parking, but he parks at the furthest point in the parking lot from the entrance. Why? Because he wants guests to not have to walk as far. That frees up a single spot. It might just be one spot, but it's a spot. And many of our volunteers do this, and our leadership, and even our team. It's very small, but it is showing that extra act of service. And it goes beyond that and beyond that and beyond that. But we want to be those kinds of leaders, not just as staff, but even as, you know, lay folks, people who are members of our church, who are serving, who are showing that. Because you have to show that for people to be thankful, recognize it, and then step into it themselves. And so the question for you today is, do you recognize that calling on your life? Are you thankful for it initially? And do you recognize that calling? Because here's the deal, my friends. You need to get this. You will never truly find fulfillment in your walk with Christ until you are in alignment with what you are created for and what you are called to. Okay? Those two realities are not mutually exclusive. They are intertwined. And so if you can grasp that and step into it and maybe try a few things out. Seth, I don't really know what my gift and your created thing is. That's fine. Try some stuff out. I've served over the years in every type of ministerial area you can think of, minus the babies. But I knew that one from the get-go. And you might too. But whatever it is for you, find that place, get connected, and serve. Okay, Seth, we get it. We need to serve. Calm down. So what we need to know now is, how do we do that? Like, how can we get connected therein? And the answer to that is, here in just a few minutes, we're going to have some folks come out and tell you exactly what those next steps might look like for you. It might be something that you want to go talk to them about. If you're very new to our church, it might be something simple to go, hey, this seems pretty awesome to me. Just tell me more about it. Tell me kind of all the ways people are serving here. I'd love to know. Maybe today the only thing you walk away with is a recognition that people are serving around you constantly. And that's a great thing to walk away with, so that you can see that and recognize it for what it is. But whatever it is for you today, I want you to react and respond to the way the Lord is prompting you. So let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you that you are a God who looks at us and says, I have called you to serve. And not just because you want us to, but because you are saying there is so much more for you if you will. I thank you for that. God, be with us in this time. I pray that you will move in people's hearts initially to follow you and be thankful for what you initially did for us by sacrificing yourself on the cross and conquering death itself. And in response to that, we will offer ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to you. God, be with us. Prompt us. Guide us. It's in your name we pray. Amen.